Dearly beloved, thank you for joining us once again for this episode of the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely no one asked for. Today, I'm going to have to apologize in advance for the technical difficulties. This that you're about to listen to was supposed to be a live recording or live broadcast on Facebook of an interview with the gentleman from Dune and Destroy, the Dune Boys, as I like to call them, John, Kyle, and Shannon. Couple technical difficulties. I had my expectations set a little bit too high. My talent tank was a little bit too low, but I sincerely hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna start this fucking podcast now. Dearly beloved, once again, thank you for coming to the Seven Slot Society podcast. Today, we have three guests from Dune and Destroy, John, Shannon, and Kyle, in no particular order. But they are tell me if I'm saying this wrong, you are like a desert dune off-road lifestyle brand company. Yes, no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So
Dune lifestyle.
Okay.
Brand. Yeah, stuff like that. All up. Fuck you.
Well, we're not live, so who gives a shit? Okay. Yeah, so if you guys can one by one just introduce yourselves and give me like just a little bit about who you are, what you do. Is this your day job? Do you have another day job? Shit like that.
Go ahead, John.
Anybody.
Me first. I'll go first. Okay. So I'm John, the original founder of Dune and Destroy. This is not my fucking day job because I wish it was, but I have to do a normal, stupid fucking job.
You have to make real money?
I had to make real money. I do commercial refrigeration for a real job.
Okay.
And Kyle, it's up to you.
It's Kyle from Dune and Destroy, and I'm a male stripper.
Yes, you are.
No, really, I do freeway construction, used to do traffic control at night, but been doing a lot of heavy dirt work and working airports and building freeways and stuff. Been doing that for 4 years, so.
Cool. And I'm the silent partner, Shannon. I'm pretty much the glue that holds this group together.
Yes.
I think you need to add some homers to it.
But I actually work in law enforcement. I've been a cop for almost 20 years.
Oh, wow. Damn. So you're the only one out of the bunch that has a real job?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Hey, this is Charlie's Angels, okay, bitch?
Okay, so tell me, so as you probably know, as we've talked about before, actually, let me give everybody a little bit of background. We all met in Sand Hollow 2 or 3 weeks ago. PRP brought us out to Trail Hero to do some cool shit, and that was the first time we all met. And we talked about doing a podcast, and I was like, I have a Jeep podcast, but I think everybody's still going to enjoy hearing from you guys. So can you, like, do you guys have Jeeps that come out with you, or is this just, like, only side-by-sides?
There is one Jeep.
Yeah, one Jeep.
One Jeep.
Levi Shirley doesn't count.
Fuck.
Nope.
It's not Levi Shirley, yeah.
Go ahead, John. It's your buddy.
We love Levi. We love Levi, but it's not Levi. It's our buddy, Billy. He's got probably like one of the sickest XJs I've ever seen. It's got a built 6 liter in it, Chevy 6 liter thing. It makes like 450 horsepower to the ground.
Jeez.
It's pretty wicked. And he comes out and he can keep up through the dunes with
shit.
The majority of our group. It's like, you look back and there's a Cherokee chasing you and you're like, what the fuck?
he might be a couple dunes back. He's not like coil overed or anything, but you're like, there's no way this thing's going to keep up. And you look like two sets back and there he is. Keep chugging along. You're like,
he gets it.
It's basically like Kyle's RS1. You hear him coming from a dune over. He's just full matted, just coming.
Just I was in front of you all weekend.
Kyle's in front of you.
I'm in front of you.
Okay, so give me a little background on how Dune and Destroy started. Like, did it just start as a bunch of people hanging out together?
So Dune and Destroy started because it primarily
you yard your car every time.
I've been going out to the desert my whole life, and I've been breaking shit my whole life.
Right.
And so I've always wanted to do something in the industry, in the off-road industry, and so I've always, you know, thought of random clothing companies, and I bounced this name off one of my buddies, and he's like, actually, that's kind of cool. And so I yarded YXZ, like, New Year's, a couple of years back, and that one, this one just stuck, and I asked Kyle to join it, and we asked Shannon to join it, and it's been an adventure ever since.
How long ago?
So we always get this. We've had this question come up before. So John, we kind of each have our own version of what Dune and Destroy is to us. So John obviously fucks shit up. I'm now joining that club with RS1, but hey, before that, it was just, to me, it's about going out and just killing it. We ride fast, we ride hard, and it's bound to happen. We're bound to break something, but it's going out and destroying and just killing it, you know, and that's kind of what it meant for me. So I got on board with it. I was like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. How long have you guys known each other?
Me and Shannon have known each other for coming on 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Me and Kyle, the three of us have known each other for
like 4 years?
Four and a half years. I think four years. 4 years last weekend.
Yeah, because my razor's 4 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 years last weekend.
We just, I mean, and when we met, it was like instant, like, click. Unfortunately, John's like a STD you can't get rid of, so he's kind of just like sticks to you and just stays with you.
Wow.
Jeez. True friendship.
Really good on him all fucking day.
We'll clear it up. I'm the shit talker out of the three of us, so yes.
They were all the shit talkers.
Okay, so John is the founder.
Yes.
Yes. And Kyle, what is your role?
I'm just the media guy, apparently.
You're the media guy when you break your shit?
Yeah, no.
When you break your shit.
And Shannon, what's your – so if people listen to the last podcast, I didn't know what your role was, Shannon. I thought you may have been just a homie that liked to hang out, and apparently you are not.
I'm a little more than a homie that likes to hang out.
You are the silent partner. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of a group effort. John and Kyle run most of the media page. Uh-huh. And like I said, I'm kind of the glue that kind of like levels them down, like when they get off on wild tangents.
Right.
So this is the first time Shannon's hearing about this, just so you know.
Yeah.
You didn't listen to the podcast? How dare you?
Shannon didn't listen to the podcast. What a dick. So Shannon didn't know that you said that before, and so it's fucking hilarious that you just brought that up.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Even after all the time that we spent in Sand Hollow, I did, like, when I have really long drives at work, I'll just record podcasts and just like go on and talk about whatever's going on, and that was just like conscious state of thought, and I was like, shit, I actually don't know. And that was in the podcast. That's why they're laughing about that.
Hilarious.
And basically the recovery crew, when John breaks his shit, I'm the one that always helps fix and get him out of the dunes.
That wasn't true this last time.
No, because we broke off and went separate, but yeah.
You separated.
You went to Greg's, you fucker.
Somebody had to get content.
Better Shannon be good. Number two. Get a look at it.
Media guy number two.
Angel, yeah. You should see when we were jumping at Osborne, and I'm all, John, I'm actually jumping, and you're not doing anything, so let me jump. And here's his camera angle. It's like pointing down, not getting low, like just like stands there like this, like, oh, there goes Kyle.
Facing into the sun.
And then he goes like this. Let me talk to myself. Yep, talking to the camera, talking to my, oh, Kyle's jumping.
I told you earlier, Angel, I'm terrible at working a GoPro.
Remembering a GoPro.
New tech. I'm great at my phone. New tech, I suck at new tech.
So I need to give you guys a little hip pocket class when I come out next time.
It's literally push the red button.
And speaking of that, let's lock it down right now. When are you coming out?
I don't know. I have schedules and calendars to look at, and a wife with a 2-week-old baby I have to talk to.
Oh, okay, then we probably shouldn't lock it down right here on live, because that'd be bad.
Well, it's not live because I'm a fucking idiot.
We can push it back. What about guys' trip?
I was thinking presidents.
Presidents,
there'll be more people there. There'll be more content available.
When's President's Day?
February.
Mid-February.
So right after Hammers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys going to Hammers?
I think we're talking about it.
You should. I don't know why you wouldn't.
I'm talking about it.
You should. You can come drive me around.
We talked about going there and helping pit for a Levi.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Team PRP, baby. So,
babe, we're going to the King of the Hammers to go pit for Levi. I'm just letting my wife know right now.
So just put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
Hey, we're skipping my birthday, so yeah.
When's your birthday?
January 30th.
Oh, that's the first day I'll be on the lake bed.
Exactly.
What better way? Well, you guys are dune guys. I guess the best way would be to spend it in the dunes.
Unless you call our buddy Steve, then he says we're dune dorks.
Dune dorks?
Yeah.
Has anybody called you guys dune guys?
Or if you ask Seven Slot Society, he says Dune Boys.
I refuse to stop calling you that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The Dune Boys.
The Dune Boys.
Okay, so do you guys host your own events, or do you just show up at places and you're like, what's up, bitches? Let's party.
I mean, what's up, bitches? Let's party.
But you don't have, like, meetups or – so in my world, they're like trail rides where you host it, you set it up.
Last year we did one, and we did a big giveaway from a bunch of our sponsors,
mm-hmm.
and then we let a ride from the hill where we were doing the giveaway out to the swing set, and I mean, what was it? Probably 100 cars? 100 side-by-sides cars?
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was like 50, if that.
So you guys keep saying swing set. You've said this in text messages and when we were at San Jalo. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's my favorite place. We'll send you pictures.
If you've watched any of our YouTube, which you better go and subscribe to our Dune and Destroy YouTube right now.
Yes, do that. Not right now. Finish the podcast and then go do it.
After the podcast.
You can listen and subscribe at the same time.
Yeah. In Glamis, there is a like full custom built swing set in the middle of the dunes. It's freaking rad. If you've never been there, you gotta go there because it's awesome.
Like swings, like playground.
Like full on swings, yes. Playground swings. There's a ball court there right now.
What the fuck?
There's all kinds of shit. It's sick.
One of the swings is like a double swing, so you sit on it with two people.
Or three.
Or three if you're skinny, but not you two guys.
That sounds kinky. That sounds like a sex move, the swing set.
It is. If you ask Shannon.
So when you say you're jumping the swing set, you're actually jumping over the swings.
No.
Is it just big dunes next to the swing sets?
There is a big jump next to the swing set, yeah.
Okay. So you just call it jumping the swing set.
It's the swing set double.
The swing set double. It's the double next to the swing set. At the swing set. Oh, okay, I got you, I got you.
And
that
I'm
makes
the
so
only
much
one
more
in
sense.
Our group that's done it. Only one.
Why?
I've done it 7 times.
Kyle seems unimpressed.
Kyle's unimpressed now because this shit's huge now.
It is huge.
It's kind of scary.
Because the year that he did it, two guys went to the ER.
No shit.
One guy
via helicopter.
Oh, wow.
Nick Farmer. I met him. Nick Farmer.
Yeah.
Yes. He broke his back?
He went the highest that weekend.
Like 6,000 feet.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Nick Farmer from Desert Whips. Our whole plan that weekend was to go there's three of us. We're gonna go 1, 2, 3 off the double. It's gonna be me, our buddy Nate, and then Nick. And so when we did it the first time, it was like I went and then Nate went and then Nate fucking nosedived right into the landing and he like fucked his whole back up. Like, just pulled muscles, got really bad whiplash and all that. And then he, like, stopped. And then I hit it again. And then Nick went to hit it and flatlanded at the top and broke his back. We didn't know that at the time, but he, like, compressed his spine. Like,
damn.
Yeah, it's really bad. And so he like pulls over and stops. We went out there with a whole like drone film crew. There's like three people there with like super gnarly drones. Right. It was a sunrise ride. And so it was like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Which wow. by the way, in true media guy forms, we had to pull over because they were throwing up on the way out.
They're puking. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Pussies.
So Nick broke his back. I jumped it like three more times that morning. And then they're like, okay, we got to figure this out. And then we took Nate back to camp, and then Farmer got lifelighted.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
How often does that happen in the dunes?
More often than we like.
Yikes. Yeah. Is that due to lack of skill, lack of machine?
I'm on a podcast. Cave. I'm
going to be live on Facebook.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Not in Farmer's case. It wasn't necessarily lack of skill. Farmer was just being a dumbass. And didn't have, he let off the throttle and he didn't have his car in full stiff and flatlanded. And then, but most people, yeah, I would say it's probably lack of skill or I don't want to say stupidity.
Right.
Because that's mean, but just like, not thinking. Like, you know, be just smart when you're in the dunes. Wear your seatbelt. You know, put a helmet on. All that, right. Yeah.
Wear your seatbelt correctly.
Yeah. Last weekend, Halloween weekend, two people died in Glamis from just straight up not wearing seatbelts and crashing.
No like, shit. You know,
preventable stuff.
How often do people die?
Every major holiday.
Every major holiday.
Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Do they have, like at Hammers, I saw the BLM guys were patrolling around and pulling people over. Do you have that out at Glamis or police out there?
They even set up DUI checkpoints on Osborne. So there's Sand Highway and there's an Osborne lookout, which is there's a lookout. You can drive any regular car up to it. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to, if you're on Sand Highway, you have to cross over that to like, normally that's your way back to camp from either direction. And they'll set up a DUI checkpoint on that strip.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They do it there. They do it in a couple of spots, usually there. And then they've done it on like the wash road.
Mm.
But I think they've done it coming out of Olds too.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Is there a lot of tipsy and or drunk driving? I would imagine.
Not as much as you think.
Really? Yeah.
I don't want that to get a bad rap just from us saying that, but it's not as bad as you would think.
Yeah.
Not as bad as it sounds.
Yeah.
There's probably more people that are just like, hey. We're on a ride. You know, you were in Santa Ana with us. When we stopped on a ride, like, it's not uncommon to stop and crack a beer.
We've talked about this on my podcast a million times. Like, the whole lunch beer thing, I have absolutely no issue with.
Right,
It's the people that are, like, 15 deep, and it's 11. Right.
And when you're gone on an eight-hour ride, so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Without lunch, without dinner, without breakfast.
Exactly. All right. So moving a little bit along here, you guys do merchandise. Yes. I see you wearing some of it. So as you can see with this stuff, I am pretty heavy into merchandise, but don't really put it out as often as I should. What's your guys' merchandise situation? Do you have a printer? Do you print your own?
Kyle.
Yeah. Well, seeing how I handle most of it. So we have two guys.
The merch guy.
We have two guys that do it. We have Fine Line Graphics. He's been handling most of our stuff up to date, and then we just picked up Respected Imaging, and he's been doing most of our shirts now. So Fine Line will probably handle a lot of our stickers. He also does our wraps.
Mm-hmm. Sick wraps, by the way. Check their Instagram out.
Yeah, they came out great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're dabbling here and there and see what people like. And
right. What's your best seller?
Probably this one.
I fucking love that logo.
Goonies never say die.
Yeah, I love that. How do your guys' whip flags go?
The flags do really well. They do really well in Michigan, actually.
In Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list to ask you guys about. Actually, fuck it. We'll talk about it now. Hey, have you guys been out there yet? Silver Lakes. Silver Lake?
We have not.
Is it on your list? Do you want to go?
Yes.
Next summer. I think I was talking to, who was I talking to the other day?
I think Adam.
I was talking to Adam. No, there was somebody else I was talking to about possibly going.
Ryan? Was that his name? Evil Genius?
No.
So he was talking to someone.
Talking to somebody about going on the 4th, and they said it would be that they do like fireworks and all kinds of stuff on the dunes on the 4th, and it's the only time that they can actually do a night ride on their dunes in Michigan. So I think
Nice
if we can figure out how to get there for the 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be legit.
It gives us a holiday weekend to go do it.
It's a long-ass drive.
We ain't driving.
So you're not going to bring your cars?
From what I've been told is the dunes are so small there that it's not worth us to bring our cars that far to just rent something and enjoy it for what it is.
Oh, no shit. So I have no point of reference.
We should ship them.
I think that would be more expensive than just driving them.
Yeah.
Well, hauling them yourself.
We could ask our sponsors.
PRP. Yeah. Talk to your sponsors. So how do the Glamis Dunes compare to Sand Hollow? I know they're kind of apples and oranges.
I would say it's more like apples and peanuts.
if you're not even the same overall, if you're talking about strictly dune area, mm-hmm. Yeah, the apples and peanuts completely.
Okay. And what specifically? I heard, John, you were talking about, like, the sand consistency. I watched you, like, stomped on the top of a dune, and you're like, Glamis sand is totally different than this. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the sick impersonation, bro.
You look and sounded just like
me. Yeah, you sound just like me. Thank you. It really is way different. So it's just a consistency of the sand. Glamis sand packs a lot harder. So
okay.
There's more rotation across the top of it. Mm-hmm. With Sand Hollow, the sand is a little, I feel like it's more powdery.
Okay.
And so, you step in it and you start sinking.
You sink.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, yeah. But Glamis is massive. You know, you go to Glamis and you stop on top of a dune and you look to your south and you're like, holy shit, this goes on forever.
All that's all you can see.
It's looking at the ocean
as far as eyes can see.
Yeah, it's legit like looking at the ocean. You just look to the end of the as far as you can see, and you're like, wow, it just never stops.
Damn.
Yeah. So Sand Hollow has no comparison.
We're gonna get you out there for President instead. Don't worry.
You'll see
what we're talking about.
I'm very excited. I'm fucking stoked. So, what about the rock crawling? Had you guys done any of that before?
If you watch our YouTube, I did it for about 30 seconds when I bought the RS1.
There were a couple old clips in what you gave me, and at one point you said, all right, now we're going to do some slow crawling stuff. And it was like just like rocks,
that was it.
Little rocks.
But we all have a rock crawling pass. Kyle used to have a built rock crawler. Shannon had a built rock crawler. I had a long rock crawling pass. I didn't have a built rock crawler.
Yeah.
I had an early Bronco.
Let's talk about old rigs because you guys weren't always side-by-side guys because those have come out semi-recently.
Correct.
Well, I mean, I grew up riding quads and dirt bikes my whole life, and then I had some friends that were into rock crawling, so I picked up an old 77 F-250,
mm-hmm.
and it was bobbed on like 42s. Nothing crazy, and it had welded fucking rear end and some
stuff
on it, an exo cage, like nothing too crazy, but it didn't even have it. You couldn't even drive it down the street. It would just jump all over the fucking place.
That's a life I'm familiar with. What did you have, Shannon?
I had a 10 can of a Suzuki Samurai, but
fuck yeah.
That thing, 56 horsepower, would crawl up anything. It was not fast, but it crawled. I mean, I would put some Jeep guys to shame crawling up stuff just because it's so small.
Right.
Yeah. That's a typical Suzuki Samurai fucking saying right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey. I'm not towing anything, but it went straight up, right? I mean, what did it weigh, like 1,500 pounds, maybe?
If that.
Maybe. It was a light car.
Wheels and tires weighed more than the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Worth more, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then but I
stereo,
had...
The stereo I had in it was worth more than the whole Samurai. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Solid.
What'd you have, John?
So I grew up in the early Broncos scene. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up going to the dunes with three-wheelers and shit, but my uncle had an early Bronco, a 67.
Okay.
And then when I was 13 years old, we bought a 75, just a tub and frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and my uncle and my dad, we did a full build on that.
Oh, nice.
SoCal Broncos. Yeah, so that was my first car. I drove that thing to high school.
Nice. So
5-liter fuel injected out of a Crown Victoria with, unfortunately, a Dana 30 up front, a 9-inch in the rear. On 33-inch Super Swamper pizza cutters. Dude, the thing was rad.
Fuck yeah.
I miss it.
Hell yeah. So did you guys have any gnarly early stories from before side-by-sides of, like, wrecks or rolls or recoveries?
Always.
Yeah, my worst
Shannon, one you was... go first. Oh, no, Kyle started talking first.
My worst one was out at, I was 18. I was still in high school. Went out with some buddies, and I was fifth gear pinned on my Honda 300EX because it's all I had. Fucking pinned. So pinned's like 40. Maybe. But fucking berm track came out of nowhere, like midday in Glamis, so you can't see, no shadows. Berm track came out of nowhere, flipped it.
Explain berm track, because this is for these Jeep guys that are listening to this podcast, because you guys were talking about it's saying how like witch's eyes and shit, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know so your you terms.
A berm track would be, a lot of times they happen where people set up their camps and they let their kids just do circles and figure eights and shit. Well, it ends up making like berms like you would see on a supercross track, you know?
Okay.
So same concept, but it's in the sand, but midday you can't see it. I came at it like 40, 50 miles an hour and went over the bars full speed.
Oh, yikes. So
that was an ambulance ride to Brawley and 5 days laying in a bed with a compressed mind.
Oh, shit.
Shannon has that beat.
Yeah. I mean, I've yarded, I've split a quad in half, crashed it. I've cracked ribs so many times, cracked my sternum.
Holy shit, dude.
But actually, right before I bought a side-by-side, I was actually practicing on my dirt bike for a race and actually put my foot down going into a turn, caught a rock, and put my knee the wrong way. So I've got a couple screws and some, yeah, a lot of damage and tearing in my knee. And pretty much as they say, as you know, with age comes a cage. So I went to a side by side, and I've been in love with it ever since. So, yeah. Yeah, no, I walked off the mountain. Probably shouldn't have, but I did.
I fare the best in that sense because I've been going to the dunes and, like, riding and stuff my whole life since I was 6 months old. Uh-huh. I've never broken a bone somehow. I used to race quads.
No shit.
I've ridden dirt bikes in the dunes, all that shit, man. Like, I'm the destroyer, but I've never broken myself, thankfully, somehow.
So, this is why. So, like, you know why, like, little kids are always doing crazy shit and they'll jump off beds and because they don't know fear of getting hurt? Well, that's John's problem. That's why he goes off and jumps 150-foot doubles in the dunes, and because he hasn't been hurt.
Because you haven't been fucked up yet.
I haven't been fucked up yet. It's like a girl that hasn't had her heart broken yet. That's me.
Jesus. Oh my God. All right, so I have kind of a weird question for you guys, and there's a couple podcasts that have talked about this, but they are talking about, I don't know if you saw last year at King of the Hammers, they allowed a UTV to race the big race, the 4400 race. What do you guys think about that? Because you've seen how big the 4400 cars are. The UTV, considering what it was, did fairly well, but do you think there's a safety aspect there just between size, weight, and speed?
I basically had this same conversation with Matt Lasher and Maddie yesterday.
Okay.
So it wasn't racing Hammers, but it was racing like Baja because they're getting ready. The Baja 1000's in a week, but I don't think they're racing it. But the UTVs have gotten so fast to where they are beating Class 10 cars. And, I mean, Wayne Matlock beat every single one car except for one in the Baja 1000 2 years
ago. Okay.
So you're talking cars that are 800, 900 horsepower, and they're these side-by-side are beating them.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I look at it is if they can keep up and run the same pace, why not?
Mm-hmm. What about you, Shannon?
My only thing is it's a power to weight ratio. And I mean, and especially when you're talking Baja, I mean, it's a bump pass. I mean, you could destroy, I mean, you could run over a UTV and just call it done. Right. Trying to pass. I mean, it, you know, it's racing. Like we all joke about it. I mean, we rub wheels and tires. I mean, us driving around through the dunes, it's just, I mean, it's part of the fun, the excitement, whatever. I mean, but that's my only thing. It's like a safety aspect of it is just, I mean, a UTV is 1800 pounds. I mean,
right.
And you're getting a car that's 4,500. It's just going to run over it. But I mean, right. Yes, they can keep up. I mean, the industry, I mean, your average side by side now, I mean, from the factories, 180 to almost 200 horsepower off the factory, you know, floor.
Right.
So, I mean, power wise, it's got the power to move it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the weight for me, just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
a little sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, John?
That's the cop talking.
Yeah.
I know. I don't think, like,
yeah. I don't think it has to do necessarily with, like, everybody knows power-wise and all that kind of stuff, like, UTVs are getting faster. There's no doubt about that. With you know, the proper clutching, turbos, all that kind of shit, like, you can make – there's plenty of cars out there right now that are making 600-700 horsepower on a dyno, allegedly, you know, depending on the dyno. But, in my opinion, it's class rules. So whatever the class rules are, there's no way a side-by-side – is fitting a 4,400 class, like class rules. So I don't know. I've got mixed feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe as like a, you know, a tester, like one versus one, you know, you take Levi Shirley or Shannon Campbell or somebody and you put them against somebody else in a side-by-side and see, you know, who can, you know, fare better. Like that's kind of cool. You know, like look at this full built rock crawl race ultra four car, you know, versus side by side through the rock, through the desert, through whatever, you know. But as far as through the hammers go, it's class, you know. It's just like you can't put a side by side in the trophy truck class in Race Baja 1000. They have their own specific class.
Right.
So in my opinion, that shit needs to stick to its own class. They have a side by side race for a reason. Put them in the side by side.
They need
class.
To stick to their own kind.
Stick to your own kind.
It's not like there's not enough of them. I mean,
that's
the UTV
really
class
bad.
Is there's almost more racers in the UTV class now than anything else. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's 2020, a side by side can, you know, identify as whatever the fuck it wants. Okay, Angel?
So, how many Jeep people have you seen moving into the side by side world or have both?
A lot.
What do you think the benefits are to saying fuck a Jeep? Which reminds me, I was going to I have a heat press too. I was going to make a Jeep suck shirt and wear that since we're doing shit. But anyway,
yeah.
What do you think the benefits are to like selling your daily driver rock crawler and getting into a side-by-side that you can't drive on the street? You have to have a trailer for.
I mean,
that's debatable, right? You guys can drive them in the street pretty much in any other state but California.
What?
Yeah. In California, you can't drive the side-by-side on the street.
I didn't know you could drive side-by-sides on the street anywhere else.
Would you drive all over Utah?
Well, other than Utah, obviously.
Arizona?
Arizona, you can.
Arizona.
No shit.
You just can't drive them on the freeway.
Yeah.
No shit. I did not know
Utah
that.
Either, but.
In most other states, yeah, you can drive them on the street. You just can't drive them on the freeway. California, you can't drive them on the street. But I would say, I mean, the best part of having a side-by-side versus having, you know, a Jeep or another four-wheel drive vehicle is your side-by-side can really do it all. You know, even with the stock tires on it, you don't have to have paddles to go to the dunes. You don't have to have, you know, other tires to go and rock crawl. You don't have to have different tires to go hit wide open desert. You can do everything that vehicle is designed to do with a factory everything on it.
Okay.
And go to every different type of terrain. You know, they really are, you know, a great multi-purpose vehicle.
Mm.
I hate
you, Kyle.
I mean,
honestly, John pretty much nailed that. I mean, the only thing I would benefit from having if I went the other way, from going from a side-by-side to a Jeep, is, yeah, being able to drive it on the street and having a windshield and air conditioning. I hate the heat.
So. What about you, Shannon?
It would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, they're, no matter how it goes, it's all expensive. So, I mean, although I still think you can build a built side-by-side for half price of some of these Jeeps. So,
yeah, I believe it.
I mean, these things are getting expensive. Like, let's not.
How much is a brand new Rubicon? A brand new Rubicon, $62,000.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, but
not, brand something new, like
a brand
that.
New Rubicon.
That's not,
it's not about
anything.
The brand new Rubicon. It's about that beat ass 89 XJ on
straight actual. With,
hell
straight,
yeah.
Straight actual with Dana 44s. And somebody's got, you know, they chop the top off of it. They exo cage this piece of shit.
Those are my people.
Yeah, those are your people.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So on a scale of 2, how much money have you guys spent on your UTVs?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, why?
Nobody's saying shit. Nobody's saying shit. Does it make you cry at night?
My sponsor paid for this trip.
Damn it, where's my bag?
Yeah. No, that's like, dude, how much money are you putting in your rock crawler? Yeah, fuck off.
I think, dude, like I brought that bag.
I brought that bag to Sand Hollow. No one noticed it.
What bag are you talking about?
I have a bag that's stitched that says my sponsor paid for this trip.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Perfect. It's supposed that's to hilarious. Be like his alcohol sponsor.
I'm the one that drinks the least out of the three of us.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
that is a true story.
I know that for a fact.
That's for a fact.
So, okay, so if you guys were going to leave the UTV scene and get into a Jeep, what would it be, Shannon? And you have a budget of like, we'll say 10 grand. We'll be generous. Kyle's ready to go.
I'm going back to my Samurai and putting a diesel swap in it.
I said Jeep, dick.
No, I like the small wheelbase.
Fair enough.
It's like his dick. He likes a short wheelbase.
What about you, Kyle? What are you getting?
That's actually not a true story either.
You changed the format. You said 10K budget, so. If I were to do it, it would be probably John's going to get mad because I'm going to say what he's going to say. But I would do an XJ with a 6-liter.
Fuck yes. John, do you say the same thing?
No. I'd probably do some beat ass clapped out YJ, dude. For sure. Yeah. Clapped out YJ.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
yeah, you do spring over or you do like a custom, like, you know, I don't know how to weld or I don't have a tube bender, but here I go with some square fucking tubing and four link kit.
Oh, fuck Jesus. Yes. Fucking make it
not
work.
Not safe to drive, beaten out baby. Fuck yes.
Hardcore.
So basically what he's saying is it's just like his side by side is right now.
Do you see the thing?
Ooh. Yeah. All right. I'm going to.
I like my women.
That's not nice. Damn. The ball's on this guy.
I know. Sorry, man. Love you.
Holy shit.
Good thing she's not listening.
Dick when I go back inside.
You're going to get
inside
murdered
the trailer,
tonight.
Smacking him right now if she was listening.
If she was listening.
She left already?
Yeah, she left.
Okay, so I'm pulling up your guys' YouTube right now. We're going to do an audit. 839 subscribers. What the fuck?
Go to our Instagram. Fuck you, Angel. Go to the Instagram.
You can't be one-dimensional.
Well,
what happens when Instagram goes down tomorrow? What happens then? You have nothing. Exactly. Exactly. That's why I'm here to help you.
Angel, that's why we recruited you.
Instagram goes down tomorrow. YouTube goes down with it. So does Facebook. So who the fuck cares? We're back to nobody.
Okay, so hold on. I'm gonna sort your videos here.
Podcast.
Yeah, all 130 people that listen.
What? Why you gotta go through? Why you gotta go through the YouTube, dude? You guys were watching the YouTube at Sand Hollow. You know what I did? I went and sat on the roof.
I was trying to do some market research. Okay, so your biggest video, 11,000 views. That's impressive. None of my videos have 11,000 views. And that was from Glamis Thanksgiving 2019. Tell me about that trip. Why do you think that video has as many views as it does?
You really want the honest truth?
Of course.
Because it's got like 10 pre-runners that are worth, you know, over 100 grand into it.
Ah.
And it's nothing but Pantera playing the whole time.
Kyle's favorite song, the freaking death metal, always.
Always.
There you go. So what's your guys' goal like a year from now? Do you want to be self-sufficient? Is this what you want to be doing full-time, or do you want to keep it as a hobby so you don't hate it?
I would love... Ooh. We would love for this to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's to the point now. So we do sell our clothing in a couple of different spots. We don't just sell it online. So if you're in Michigan, Lansbury's. What?
I said, oh wow, that's awesome. So you're distributing outside of your own little circle.
Correct. Yeah. Dune Land in Michigan, they carry our line. And then Gilmore's in Glamis, they also carry our clothing line. So thankfully, our clothing is finally starting to pay for itself.
Okay.
Which is super rad. But, I mean, as much as we'd love for this to pay for us to not work anymore, I don't really foresee that happening in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think right now, we're on such a sick-ass path. After San Hollow, it put us over a different edge. Like, I don't even know what the next spot is for us.
Yeah.
You know, San Hollow was it put us leaps and bounds ahead of where I thought that we were. You know,
like, if you would have asked this same question a year ago, we would have been like, selling T-shirts.
Here we are now.
we'll be at Glamis next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't have thought that someone would be taking you out to a place like Sand Hollow for official digital media shit.
No, right. And like, yeah. We can't thank, Keith and Kyle at UTV Sports Magazine. And the biggest thanks is, you know, to PRP, those guys, Kyle and Justin, they told us, we had a meeting with them about a year ago, mm-hmm. and they said, we need a powerhouse out of UTV guys. And, you know, we were hoping that you guys will be that, not be a repost page. So after we had that sit down meeting with Kyle and Justin, we're just like, me and John are like, all right, we're going to fucking hit it, dude. And they invited us to Sand Hollow. Sure as shit, as you as our witness angel, as soon as we touched that sand, we were fucking ape shit.
Ripping it.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We will continue to do that.
We definitely did everything that we could to make ourselves stand out. And
yeah, you guys put on and put up.
Kyle rolled his RS1. Kyle full watered his RS1. You know, I did some decent sized jumps. Shannon's over there getting roosted by me. That's okay, Shannon. I love you. exactly. Put me up. Yeah. No, I mean, Sand Hollow really did, you know, it did put us on the map and with a lot of different companies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, like Kyle said, biggest thanks to PRP and UTV Sports Magazine. Check out, just keep patiently waiting for the new Trail Code video. It's going to be sick. You know, we're in the newest issue of UTV Sports Magazine. Like, that shit's
That was so awesome. You guys don't, and it may sound like hyperbole, but when I saw that, I was so fucking amped for you, because those pictures were absolutely sick.
Yeah, they were sick, yeah.
Like, the whole spread over across the two pages. I was like, ah!
Two-page spreads.
When it came out, I think that was literally, like, highlighted, like, where we are as a business, as influencers, like, for us. Like, it really hit us, like, deep and made us all feel really good about what we're actually doing.
So, right. Yeah. Was that one of those points where you're like, oh, shit, we're doing something now?
Yeah. It totally was. It was
amazing. Kyle, I was like, totally on the We're Famous kick since we got back from the channel. Like,
you know who I am?
We're famous.
I'm actually surprised he hasn't said it yet. Come on.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
In our chat group before we went out for Halloween, that's all it was. Like, yeah, we're not famous. We're not John from Dune to Destroy. We're not famous.
We're famous.
What's your guys' best takeaways from Sand Hollow, since that's a shared experience between us?
Meeting Angel.
Oh, shut up. Aww. That guy's a dick.
Aww. I love that guy.
I mean, for me, it's rubbing elbows with people and just enjoying the good time. I mean, like, the party at the house, like, every night, like, party at the house, like, every night, like, just everybody having a good time. That's, like, that's what we are. Like, we're doing, it's like a part, like, a nonstop party. So, it's rubbing elbows with, I mean, dude, Levi
party.
Shirley, like, all these guys that are, like, badasses and just, like, hey, want another beer? Just, yep, I'll take
another one. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty cool. That's still like one of my favorite parts was when I think it was like midweek, Wednesday or Thursday, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We were over at like the main media tent and they said, Duna Destroy guys, RJ Anderson, Eisenhower's and Parsons, we need you guys for a sunset shot. And like we were up there with High Rev Media, you know, or High Rev Photo, UTV Sports Magazine, doing full blown private interviews at the top of the sand dune, overlooking all of Sand Hollow.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going on here? I thought we were the guy from fucking Glamath, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I bet that was a great moment. All that. And those are some heavy hitter names, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's me.
That was when we, that was the shot when that's the cover of the magazine, that issue of the magazine.
Yes. It is, yeah. The coolest part for me, like one of the coolest parts, because the whole thing was sick.
Yeah.
But I walked up. It was like nighttime, pitch black. We're down kind of by the water. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. And they had the fire lit and all that kind of stuff down by the water. And I walked down to the beach because we didn't get a chance to go down to the water the whole time we were there.
Right.
So I walked down there and I passed Sarah Price and Jessica from UTV Sports Magazine.
Yep.
And I turned around and Sarah Price goes, Tune and Destroy.
Oh,
and
I'm like, shit. Sarah
Price. You know, I'm like, Sarah Price, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so I walk up over there and she's like, man, we've been talking about me and RJ and everybody. We've been talking about you guys the whole week. Like, you guys are crazy. Damn. To me, that was like, what? Like, you guys are talking about us? Like,
well, it's me.
It's little old me.
Little old us.
But it's funny because people like say, like we're crazy, we're crazy, but I'm like, that's just our normal everyday driving. Like, you're gonna get the videos on the flash drive.
Right.
I mean, it's like, this is just how we drive. Like,
yeah,
some of it, it's fun. It's, we drive fast. I mean, we're, you know, right at that edge of reckless and danger. Like, we're right there, like, just right on that streamline.
Yeah.
Most of the time it goes across into the danger zone.
Yeah. Well.
I'm very excited to see it in person.
Yeah.
Because I know you guys were saying that it's not usually the pace that you run in the dunes, but you'll try anything. And I think that's one of the things that
4 miles an hour on the trail is not the pace we run in the dunes. So.
Well, I think that's one of the – go ahead.
We had that trail that we did with everybody where there was like 40 people, and that was way too slow for us. But when we did the trail with you guys and it was just the PRP house doing the trail, like there was a couple times I got out of the car and my fucking hands were shaking. I'm like, yeah, we're fucking having fun now.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. That first rock recall, I literally got out of my car. I'm like, I need a beer to calm down. I'm like, I just put this car together 2 days ago and I'm already clapping it. Like, I need a beer.
Yeah.
Need something to calm down.
That first obstacle that we did where you like went up and over and then came
up and around
looking across, like that was like, oh shit, like we're doing real rock crawling right now. Like, I
was that the one where Kyle just went like,
yeah, that's the clip where I thought you sped the clip up.
No. You hammered that shit so hard.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, so he's really comfortable behind the wheel on rocks.
No sway bar. But I did that the rest of the day.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Which ultimately compromised the arm and bent the arm, which made me break the arm later that week. But whatever. Yeah.
No sway bar.
Back it. Yeah. Back it.
And I'd like to point out, just for the purpose of pointing this out, you guys both agree with me. I beat Darren Parsons in the barrel 100%. Racing.
100%.
I was not there.
Hold on, I'm gonna clear this up. So when you sign,
we're gonna have Darren on the podcast. So if you need to call him out, if you need to call him out, so I can recall this.
I'm gonna speak. Yeah. I'm gonna speak the facts of how the barrel race went down. Okay. Everybody signed up ahead of time for how many races, how many laps you want to do, and we did those laps. So when those are done, that's your final time. You don't, when somebody beats your time, you don't get to hop back in your car and go for a, hey, all is broke, I'm going to run the crap out of it and see what I can do, a third
in
run.
In not your car.
Yeah, and not your car. Love you, Darren. Love you, but you got back in the seat, Kyle, on a non-registered race.
So you're saying you beat him fair and square. Darren. He pulled one over on you.
He pulled a third race when he only had two.
Yeah.
I'll have to recall that and get his side.
Yeah. This so I beat like him on the first race.
I demand a recount.
Technically, I beat him on the very first race that I did too, because my first time was like a 42.3. And I was like, all right, me and Adrian Orellana, I can't remember his last name. We had a $20 bet on fastest lap time. So, and he's a pro UTV racer, factory player, all that stuff. So, we had a $20 bet. I beat him on the first run. And then I went again, and I got a 39.7. And I was, like, being a super dick. I'm like, yeah, fuck
you?
Guys.
What?
Fuck all you racers. They crushed you guys by, like, 3 seconds. Blah, blah, blah. Like, being a full-on dick. And I will totally own that. And then as soon as I was being a full-on dick, Darren's like, fuck you.
Get in the car.
I'll be back on.
So you kind of brought that on yourself then.
Oh, 100% brought it on myself. Like, if I would have said anything, you'd have been like, what the fuck? Like, getting a smoke. Had I not been gloating.
Yeah.
Wait, John from John and Destroy. I mean, Dune and Destroy gloat?
No.
Never. Would never do that. First 4C card, set. Said that that's at
like,
my wedding.
That's like the 34th time I've heard you say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hear it all the time too.
All right, so I want to give everyone their time back. Thank you guys so much. You've given me an hour of your time. Well, the first 15 minutes was me fucking up. We're gonna do this again. So there's so much more stuff that I want to cover, but I really don't want to. Nobody listens to 4-hour podcasts. But there's still a whole bunch of stuff I want to go over with you guys. So you will be back for sure, 100%, and it will be live and will be unfucked up.
Let's do it in Glamis.
We're going to do it in February.
Yes. Oh, we're definitely doing a podcast in Glamis.
Yes.
At some point.
That's a whole lot of shit for you to bring.
Oh, no, I'm not bringing it. No. So all we need for the podcast is this. This is it. This and microphones. I can run 4 mics off of this. That's all we need. The rest of the stuff is streaming stuff. Yeah, this runs on batteries. It's mobile. It's the fucking tits. Anyway, before we go, if you guys want to – If you want to run around real quick and just say parting words, if you want to shout out sponsors, if you have discount codes to places that you want to pimp, or if you have new merchandise, I'll be linking your website and all that shit in the show notes. But if you guys want to go around real quick and give last notes.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Thanks for everybody for listening. Shout out definitely to PRP because they brought all of us together right here. This wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for PRP. So
I'll let shout out Kyle and Justin.
Yeah, Kyle and Justin for sure. But go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah, same thing. Thanks to all the sponsors. I mean, you guys keep our cars running because we're going to break them. You keep sending us the parts.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do the whole rest of the list. So
why don't you just go to your car? You have the checklist.
Yeah, I know. Go to the list.
Just go to your checklist.
PRP.
Go to the side that's not strapped together.
Baja Designs. Yeah. Fuck yeah, Baja Designs. That's right. Hypercoil, Down South Motorsports, SSS Off-Road, Fuel UTV.
Go to the side of your car. The list is right there.
Thinking about it.
Savage UTV, yes. Jeep Boost. Rugged Radios, Cruise Armor, Seal Savers.
You can just flip your camera around and show us all.
Thank you, Boxo. I can't because my car's like slammed into the trailer. You can't be able to see it anyways. EFX, Full Throttle Batteries. Yeah, that's a good one. We forgot about that one. MTX Off-Road. Buggy Whip. Can't thank you guys all enough. And then Kyle, Shannon, I love you guys. You're my brothers. I appreciate you so much.
Thing.
You're my angel.
Sunset our hands.
Yeah. There we go.
There we go. You got to get them both.
Yeah.
We got to get that picture.
Jesus.
Thanks, Angel, for having us on the show. We really appreciate it, man.
Thank you for coming on. I know this isn't normally the kind of stuff we talk about, but two things. One, little variety is the spice of life, right? Absolutely. You don't want to listen to the same shit all over again. And number two, this is my podcast, so we'll talk about whatever fuck we want. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I will see you soon.
Yes.
Hopefully in the dunes.
Definitely.
All right. We're out. And there you have it. Thank you guys for giving us this time of yours. Really appreciate it. Thank you again to the Dune Boys, Kyle, John, Shannon. Thank you so much for giving me some of your evening on this beautiful Saturday night. Although I will say the 3-hour time difference does suck because I'm recording this and it's now 10:33 p.m. and I'm old and I am tired. But thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Please go check out the Dune and Destroy crew, the Dune Boys. Awesome group of dudes I can vouch for personally. I spent a week living with them in Sand Hollow. Definitely some awesome, awesome guys. Before you go, I would love for you to check out some other podcasts. First of all, Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast. Terrific fellows. I have yet to meet them, but I am very excited to. Rigged for Dirt, Frank and Ali, Overlanders. I'm not an Overlander, but God, I fucking love their podcast. Built for the East Off-Road, Off-Road Garage Podcast for sure. Last but not least, the Talent Tank, Wyatt Pemberton. If you are not listening to this podcast, you are fucking up. I hope you guys have a terrific evening, and I hope you come back for the next episode. Goodbye.